Hi, this is Tyler, and I'm interviewing my Aunt Nancy, and we're going to talk about her life. So, Nancy, when and where were you born?
I was born in Astoria, Queens, in New York, in 1941. I grew up in Astoria. I went to school in public school 6 in Astoria. I went there for 8 years, then I went to Bryan High School. And growing up, it was very, very different than it is now. We did not have any televisions. We had no electronics. There was no iPods, A-pods, whatever pods. We had nothing. And our companionship, what we did, we called on the phone to each other. We talk on the phone. We went out. We played outside a lot. We lived in the city, so, you know, you had to be careful. But we used to play stickball in the streets and play with our friends. My brother and I played a lot together when we were kids. And we played board games. The family used to come together on Sunday. We'd play Parcheesi. We'd play Monopoly. We'd play Sorry. We went on trips. We didn't have a car because it was difficult having a car then in the city. So we went on, our trips went to Astoria Pool, Astoria Park. We'd take an express wagon and we'd walk down there. And then two or three times a year, my grandmother and my Aunt Betty would take us to Coney Island on the train. And we'd have such a good time. And that was our vacation time. I love school. I went to school, as I said, in PS6, and I had a lot of friends. I still have friends from that school. We still know each other. Work was hard. We had a lot of homework. We had no computers. We had to learn. We had nothing to use. And then I went to work. When I was 18, I got a job in the city, and I worked there. And again, we had no word processors. We had no computers. We had just a typewriter. And if you made a mistake on a typewriter, that was it. And we, TVs, we got a television when I was about 8 or 9, we got a TV. The TV was big, almost like a refrigerator, and there was a 7-inch screen in it. And my grandparents used to walk 3 blocks all the way over to my house to watch that 7-inch screen. We'd all sit in front of it watching a black and white movie, which was only 13 channels. That's all you had. You just plugged it in when you came home, and there was like tubes. The whole back of the television was tubes. And I still remember my brother watching the rodeo. That was the first thing they showed us on television. That was so exciting for him.
Okay, thank you. Next question. Tell me about a teacher or an adult that impacted your life while you were growing up.
Oh, a lot of people, I could say, impacted my life. My family was very supportive. I had friends. But the one that stands out the most is my eighth grade teacher. Nobody wanted to have this teacher. Her name was Mrs. Yeren. And nobody wanted because she was really tough. And I was a good student, but I was terrible in math. I could not do math for anything, and I couldn't get it. So she sat one day with me and said, you know, I think you could learn it if I taught you another way. So she and another teacher, Mrs. Donovan, took two girls, my friend and I, after school. They didn't get paid for it. It was their own time, and they taught me math. And after about 2 weeks, it clicked, and since that time, when I went to high school, I got 98 in my math regents, my algebra regents. I was like a math whiz, and I never would have known if it wasn't for those two teachers, and I'll never forgive them. I'll never forget them for doing that.
Okay, now, can you tell me, who were your parents like, and what were, who were your parents, and what were they like?
My parents were great. My dad, my father's side was Hungarian, and my mom's side was German. And my dad worked. His dad died when he was about 13. He had to quit school, and I was very proud of my father. He worked for the post office. He worked for 46 years in the post office, and He always wanted to get his diploma. He always wanted to graduate, and he never could. So when he was 72 years old, he went back to high school with all the young kids and got his diploma. And he worked hard for it, but he wanted to show that he could get it. And my dad was acting postmaster in New York City for almost 2.5 years, I guess. And he had started down in the ranks. He was delivering specials. He was moving the mail bags. He was not an appointee. He got it moving up. I was really proud of him. And my mom was incredible. She was the best mom. She took care of the kids. She took care of the house. She supported us with everything. And she had golden hands. She could make anything. And she used to work with the nuns, and she'd help them make things for the bazaar. She could do almost anything. And she was so kind and so good to everybody. And I miss her a lot.
So as we know, Nancy said in the beginning of this interview that she had...
Go back. Can you go back?
That she had a nickname, and it was Nancy. Can you tell us how you got that name?
Well, I was born Anne Mary. But my mother was Anne. Her mother was Anne. My father's side, his sister was Anne. Cousins were Anne. And my dad said every time he'd call Anne, I was a little kid, and he'd call Anne and everybody would answer. So he started to call me Nan. And then my brother was born, he started to call Nan because he heard my dad call. So then they started to call me Nancy, and Nancy stuck. So at work and at school, they call me Anne. At home, they call me Nancy. So I kind of answered anything, really. But that's how I got my nickname, Nancy.
Thanks. So now, I'm wondering, what was your brother like?
Well, my brother is a case all on its own. He's got a great sense of humor. He's funny as anything. We had so much fun when we were kids, and he used to play tricks on me all the time. And he was 4 years younger, but I don't know, he just knew how to get me. And one time, it was near Halloween, and we had built a scarecrow and stood it in the woods, and it really looked good. We lived on a dead end, and everybody could see it. And his friend Joey had come up for the weekend, and I always walked the dog. We had a little poodle, and I used to walk Candy at night, just down to a little bit and come back. And as I was walking down, out of the corner of my eye, I thought I saw the scarecrow move. His arm light moved, and I go, oh, my gosh. And I'm saying, what is that? And I looked again, and I thought I saw the arm move again. And then it started to come toward me, and I went screaming up the street. And my brother and Joey took everything off the scarecrow, and they put it on my brother and stood him by the wooden piece we had there. And when I came out, he went after me. And that was the kind of thing my brother always did. He's funny. He loves kids. He's crazy about young kids. And he loves to, you know, tease them and play with them. And he's a policeman. He was in the army. He was stationed over in Germany. And he married Barbara and brought my sister-in-law back. And she was wonderful. And we had a good family.
Since you've been alive since 1941 to now, 2018, what do you think about all the changes that have been happening?
Well, that's hard to explain, but I guess it's the fast pace that the changes are coming. It's a little too fast for me sometimes. As I said before, when I was a kid, we had no electronic stuff. We had nothing like that. My mom did the wash in the no washing machine in the sink with a washboard. And I used to help her stir the wash. And then we hung it out on a window. We lived in an apartment house, and they put pulleys from your window to the lady across on the other side of the court. And we used to hang our clothes out That's how we dried them. And in the wintertime, when you got frost, the clothes would come in, we'd pull them in, you'd stood them out, you stood them all over the living room because they'd stand, they were frozen. You had to wait till they thawed out. And we had no dishwashers. You had a telephone with a dial. And in fact, in the beginning, sometimes only two or three people had telephones, and if you got a call, and maybe at one of your neighbor's houses, they'd call and say you had a phone call, and you'd go down and answer it. Then as time went on and I worked, I had to use a typewriter, and you had no copy machines. You had a machine that, you put things, they would almost put ink over it. I forget the name of it right now, but that's how you would make copies. And it was horrible. You couldn't see them. And if I made a mistake on a letter, and say the letter was took me an hour or 2 hours to type, and the mistake was there, you had to type the whole letter over because there was no word processing, no computer. So you had to be an excellent typist. And if you wanted copies of you put carbon paper in between. When you put the carbon paper in between, if the carbon moved a little, it would smudge it, and you might have to retype it. Sometimes I'd have to type a letter for my boss 3 or 4 times. When he wanted to change the amount of money or something, you had to do the whole letter over. And when I worked, we had to do adding. We had an adding machine, but it had no tape and no electricity. You had a handle on it. And you had buttons going across, and you'd push a button like 125, and then you'd push a button and 21, and that would add it on the bottom. You'd see that come in on a little readout. But you wouldn't know if it was right. You had to add everything 2 or 3 times because you had to make sure it came out the same, even if it was 100 items. And then as far as other things, I mean, even cars were so different. We had nothing like they have in cars now. We had a little window on the side, you crank windows, you had no power windows, no power anything. I mean, everything was, in fact, it was more simplistic. In fact, I used to be able to fix my car. I had an old car that I bought, my first car, when I was in my 30s, late 30s. And I knew that I could push a pencil in the butterfly clamp on top to get if the car wasn't working. Now, if you look in the front of a car or you look in it, you can't even believe how many parts are in the car. It's all a lot of these boards and these electronic boards and digital. And it's very, very different. And now with all this electronics, you can buy, I have an old phone, a little flip phone. I don't want a smartphone because I don't like it. And the one reason I don't like it is I think it stops people from having social contact with someone. I'm sitting here getting interviewed by my nephew. And hearing his voice and looking at him means everything. But if you text me and ask me something or you type an email, you don't get that feeling that there's somebody right there. So those things, I think for older people especially, young people want to be fast and at it. But an older person likes to see the person, feel them, touch them, know that they're there. And I said, I think that's the worst part about modern technology, that you can't connect with people as well as you used to do. And that things aren't as easy to come by. You can't just say, let's get together and go for ice cream like we used when we were kids. Now it's texting where I am, where I'm doing, I'm going here, I'm going there. But nobody ever gets together and has a good time and laughs. And I think that's the part that bothers me the most about all this internet stuff. And of course, internet stuff too can cause problems. You have to be careful who you're talking to on the internet. It's a whole new world out there. And I'm in it. I use a computer. I don't want to be behind and not know anything, but I don't like some of the new things. Because when you come from nothing, you have nothing, and all of a sudden if you took someone and just took them from that year and brought them right up here and never saw the evolution of these things, they think you were crazy. They wouldn't believe it. So that's the changes I saw. And I'm sure the young people now think this is the best, but maybe in 100 years from now, the changes, they would be sitting here saying the same thing. So you don't know.
So my final question to you is, do you have any hobbies?
Yes, I love to paint. I can't paint like just from my head. My niece, Barbara, can paint. Like, she'll look at something outside and do it. I have to paint from something I'm looking at. And I went to the Bob Ross classes, and I did about 30 paintings. Mostly, as you know, Bob Ross does mostly landscapes and mountains, but I loved it. I enjoyed every single minute I had in that class. And it makes you calm. It makes you happy when you're just sitting there and painting. And I've tried to do it on my own. I've done a couple, but... I'm not an artist really. I love it. I just love it as a hobby. And recently, I just moved up near my nephew 2 years ago from Nanuet. And I joined a group that does, it's pins and needles, they call it, from the church. And they do crocheting. And we make quilts for the chemo patients and for the shelters. And it's a group of us that just put all our talents together. They taught me how to crochet, which I'm ever grateful because I made about 9 hats already. And we work on quilts once a week and do that. And I guess I enjoy that kind of hobby. I used to do banners. I don't do them anymore, beaded banners. I've done a lot of, we made dolls when my mom was alive, God rest her soul. We used to do dolls for the priests and for the nuns when they had their bazaar so they could, you know, get money for it. And I like jigsaw puzzles. I like game playing, you know, basically home things. I'm not a traveler. I don't travel. If I travel, I went down to Disney World with my nephews and my nieces 2 years ago when I moved up, and it was fun. But I'm not a traveler like some of the people in my family. I kind of stick close to home. And that's kind of what I do.
Thank you very much.